Well, we welcome each one here. In the precious name of Jesus, we greet you. It's a blessing to be together here this morning. Thank you, brothers, for the things that were shared here. Sobering thoughts here this morning, but very encouraging. Think of thinking of Jesus looking at his disciples and telling them that I have not called you servants, I have called you friends, because everything that I've heard of my Father I've made known unto you. And that God is not wanting the truth to be obscure or hidden, or that we would be deceived. And yeah, I was just thinking of some of those things this morning. I want to thank you, brothers, for preaching here this morning, the things that were shared here. It's a tremendous blessing. The title of the message here this morning, this is something I've been wanting to share here for a while. But I have titled this, these few thoughts, I've titled Overcoming Offenses. And as I look across the room here, I would say that we're a pretty young group of Christians. In the flesh, we would say that I would consider someone who's 20 years old to be fairly young. And I don't know, I'd say 20 years old in the faith, I would say would probably catch most of us, maybe all of us. And so I'd say we're a fairly young group of Christians. Many of us maybe even less than 10 years as Christians, and some less than that. And so probably that's part of the burden here. But there are, if you want to open your Bibles to Luke 17, Luke chapter 17, there are some things in this world that are fixed. They are for sure. It cannot be otherwise. There are some things that are unchanging. One of those things is God. God is the presence of God. God is a fixed truth. There is no, he's unchanging. He's eternal. There is no, he cannot die. He cannot go away. He can leave people, but he cannot cease to exist. And I was thinking there are things that are fixed. There's God. There is the Word. The Word of God is eternal. It is forever. The Bible tells us, and we know this because it is part of God, it cannot cease to exist. It is fixed. And we know that the church, the Scripture tells us that the church, the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. The church will prevail. Well, there's something else that is for sure. And we read it here in Luke chapter 17, verse 1. Jesus, then said he unto his disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. So it is impossible that there will not be offenses. That's fixed. That's a fixed truth. It's impossible that there will not be offenses. It goes on to say, but woe unto him through whom they cometh. And so we'd like to look at some things this morning. I don't know what you think of when you think of offenses. But the Strong's definition is an occasion of stumbling, or something that you might trip over. Now, that to me, that's not a very strong definition, because our tendency, when I think of stumbling, I think of someone walking along and hooking his toe on something and kind of going like this, and then he keeps walking. And that's what we think of when we think of stumbling. And so it doesn't seem like a very big deal. It doesn't seem to be a very something that maybe is such a big deal. But I think the more biblical understanding and thought is of someone who hooks his toe on something and he falls and he hits his head and he never gets back up. It's a little, maybe there's more of a reality to this thing than what we think of. And so maybe that's part of the burden this morning. So stumbling a little bit may not be all that bad, we might think, if you get back up. But what about the losses? What about things that are lost when you're stumbling? And what about those who never get back up? And so it makes it a very important matter. And I look back over our experience, and I think of men who had a powerful impact on my life. Ordained men who taught and preached the truth from pulpits much like this one. Godly men, anointed men that stumbled. It's a sobering thought to me. It's a very sobering thought to me. Men had a powerful impact on my life. I could go back further, and I think of a young man who we were a young family, and we had one little child, just one little child, and we had a burden that our children wouldn't experience the things that we did. And that there would be something better, and we didn't know what it would look like, and we didn't know, and there were a few young people in our midst, and there was a young man who was an inspiring young man. I had never known a young man could be, you know, 19, 18, 19, 20 years old and have a passion and a zeal for God and love God and love to sing. And I had never seen that in my life. I had never seen anything like that. I didn't know that was possible. My whole entire growing up, every young man that I knew, all they wanted to do at 18 and 19 and 20 years old was party. That was my experience. And so here's a young man in our midst who was a song leader, and he was inspiring, and he would speak up at prayer meeting, and he had inspiring, and and I just thought, this is what we want. This is the goal. It was inspiring to me. And it's shocking. It's shocking to say that such a young man got offended, completely lost his way, even into alternate lifestyles. And completely, as far as I know, lost everything except maybe his profession. I don't know if he would still even profess to be a Christian. So when I speak of offenses here today, I hope to end up here on a more encouraging note, but that's what I think about. Those are things that I think about, and I think of many others, maybe not to that extreme, but families that of those who were offended. They got offended. Offenses came. They were unable to deal with it. They were unable to overcome it. And they lost their way. It's just that simple. they were able to overcome. They were unable to overcome offenses. Jesus said, offenses will come. Offenses will come. So we'd like to look at some different offenses today. We'd like to start with looking at, maybe this might be a strange place to start here, but this is where I'd like to start. But there is the offense of the gospel. The offense of the gospel. And we heard about that already this morning. If you'd want to turn to Romans chapter 9. And this one here, I realized this morning this doesn't apply to us, but I think it can help us understand some of the things that we experience and some of the things that come against us. I think it will help us. It can help us understand it. And I'm not thinking that these are new thoughts to maybe any of you, but this morning, Romans chapter 9, verse. We can start reading in verse 30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And so I think of this morning that there is placed up here upon this earth, there is a stone of stumbling, there is a rock of offense, and his name is Jesus. And men stumble. Men stumble and they are offended. We heard about it already this morning that these uncircumcised Philistines demonstrated more faith than Israel. There's more of a demonstration of faith. They recognize that if we would make a trespass offering and if we would do this, the things that we heard this morning, this is a real God. He would do something. And so they demonstrated more faith. But the religious world is offended by the call of faith. The religious world is offended by it. And when I mean the religious world, I'm not talking about just conservative groups. I'm talking about churches in general. You know, you can have the fundamentalists, and so they write out their fundamentals, and if you ascribe to the fundamentals, well, you're in, and if you don't, you're out, and that makes it real simple. Let's just get it simplified, and then we can just go on with our lives, and we can pursue the American dream, but we're fundamentalists. But the call of Jesus Christ is not that. The call of Jesus Christ is a call to faith. Faith in God, a life of faith, a walk of faith that leads to obedience and a relationship with God. And there's this Israel which followed, as we heard already this morning, they made a God out of their law. And so now we got this thing cornered. We've got it right here. We've got it. And now we can do whatever we want. As long as we got it. And the call of faith is not that. The call of faith is a full surrender, a life of fellowship with God and walking with God. He says here, the Gentiles, which weren't after righteousness, when they heard the gospel, they attained to righteousness by faith. They entered into a relationship with God and so this morning, it's offensive. It's offensive to a religious world. And so I think my reason for sharing this morning is to help us understand the things that come against us and the things that people say. But when you tell this world, and it doesn't matter where the scope, the spectrum is, you know, but when you tell them that there is no other way, but you must be born again, they'll stumble. Well, I was baptized when I was a baby. I'm a member of the church. I go to the Baptist church. I go to church every Sunday. But the Bible says that you must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit. You must be made a new creature. It's offensive in our world today to say that there is only one way to God. It is down to one way. Just one. And it offends. It offends this world. You know, and that can be a good thing when men get offended. It can actually be a good thing if it can help them to, you know, shake up their world or you know, they can be brought down, you know. But many just stumble and get offended. And they never find their way through. The call of faith. The call of faith is beautiful. The call of faith is beautiful. Jesus said, come. Come unto me. The call of faith is beautiful. Whosoever will may come and be born again and come to God. And there's no exclusions here. It's just whosoever will may come. And the call is the call of faith to come. We could read this same passage. Peter said it as well. I'll just read it again. Peter quoted this. These are actually quoting from Isaiah. This was written in Isaiah that he would be a stumbling stone. In 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter says here, wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. Those words this morning, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. It is not God's will. It's not God's will for His people to be wandering around in darkness and not knowing, not having a foundation and being destroyed by the devil. It's not God's will. I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, something you can build on, something that's solid, something that is eternal. Elect and precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded, or will not be brought into condemnation, or will not be destroyed. I think would be the item. Maybe if someone has another translation, give me another thought there, another translation of that. Not be confused. He that believeth on him, not be confused, not be brought to another passage where that same word is would be used, not be ashamed, or not be brought to shame because of what he is building on. Never be ashamed. He'll never be brought to shame. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they also were appointed. And some of my favorite verses in the Bible, so I'll just read them here. That doesn't go in. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And we couldn't go on. Offended by Jesus Christ. I would have confidence this morning that's not the case with anyone here. That we're offended at the gospel. We have a better way of coming to God. We have our own way that we prefer. We I'm fairly confident this morning that it maybe doesn't apply in this room. But I hope it could help us to understand how to relate that I can relate to it because I was that way. I had my own way. I had this way that I thought was right, and when I was told that I needed something more than what I had, it offended me. I was offended by that. That's not what I wanted to hear. I wanted to hear that I was doing fine and that I was doing as good as anybody else and that I probably would make it. I had as much hope as anyone else. And when I realized that some people had a testimony, they had true hope and assurance, and I was offended. And I'd go to the Bible and try to figure out why you couldn't have an assurance of salvation, because I didn't have assurance of salvation. So I was offended, and it offended me. But as I read the Bible, I realized that we should have an assurance of salvation. And then so it was good for me to stumble and come down. It was good for me to stumble and come down. That's not the main part of the message here this morning. Offended by the Word of God. Offended by the Word. Some people are offended by the Word. If you want to turn to Matthew 11, Matthew chapter 11, verse 21, it says here about people who... I'm sorry, I think it's chapter 13. Yes, chapter 13, verse 21. Here it says about people who, where this seed, Jesus giving here the parable of the soils, the different soils, and here is where the seed falls into stony places. In verse 21, it says, "Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while." I'm sorry, I should back up. Verse 20, "He that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended." Here we have a person who is excited. He hears the gospel and he is excited about the gospel. He thinks it sounds like good news. He desires it. He wants it. And yet, as he goes along, he gets to a place where he realizes that this is going to cost him everything. That it goes into that as he endeavors to follow the Lord. He runs into hard sayings, and by he is offended. It says he is offended, and he decides that this is not for me, and he pushes it aside. We have an example of that in John chapter 6, that I thought of. In John chapter 6, we have this. It's actually a very good. It's actually a very good illustration here of what we're talking about. John chapter 6, verse 53. "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, I live by my Father, even so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, they said, This is a hard saying, who can hear it? Then when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Doth this offend you? What? And if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given of him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? And then Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. My question here, do you think Peter understood this any better than the others at this time? I would say he didn't. But this was a hard saying. Except you eat my flesh and drink my blood. What does that mean, Lord? What does that mean? I mean, this was hard. You're asking us to become cannibals? What does this mean? And I just think, the seeking heart that says, Lord, where else would I go? You have the words of eternal life. Because we run into things, we meet things that are hard. Maybe there's things in the scripture. I think of people get started and then they run into a teaching, what the Lord said about divorce and remarriage. And it's a hard saying. Well, how would I do that? I can't. And there's that choice. Well, I don't know how, Lord, but with you all things are possible. Or go away and walk no more with him. Non-resistance. Forgiveness. You know, there's messages that Jesus Christ brought to this earth, and they're absolutes. I mean, they're absolutes. You know, if we're going to be a people that take up arms, then we cannot be the children of God. It's just fixed. It will separate us from God. If we're going to be a people that cannot forgive those that trespass against us, then we will not be children of God. It's an absolute. And they're hard sayings. And we have, either we have this deep root or a deep, a relationship, we allow the roots to go deep that take us through those things, or we'll be offended. Those things come and I can't bear it. Can't bear it. Offenses will come. That's what Jesus said. And the one we're looking here is the offense, the offenses of the word. But the heart that says, I can do all things through Christ, even if I don't understand the details today. I don't understand all the details. I don't know how that's all going to work out. But you're calling me to deny myself and to take up my cross and follow me. That's what he said. If except a man deny himself and take up his cross and follow me, Jesus said, he is not worthy to be my disciple. It's an absolute. It's just fixed. And when those occasions come and those things come into our lives and we turn away and we get offended, it's an eternal loss. It's an eternal loss. Matthew 24, we were in Matthew 23 earlier, the third one here. Offended by tribulation. Offended by tribulation. Matthew chapter 24. Now, I grew up in a setting where there was a lot of preaching about the end times and how things are going to get really bad, and those things are all going to happen. I heard those things many times, and I am thankful for it. I don't regret that. I don't regret that at all. And so, however, when I stand in a pulpit and preach Matthew chapter 24, there's something that kind of comes to me, and it's like, we've all heard this many times, and it hasn't really seemed to happen. Does that mean it's not going to? If Jesus said it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Matthew chapter 24, verse 9, "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another." We read the martyr's mirror, and we read the martyr's stories, and we are thankful that those have been recorded, and that we can see through those accounts that men can be faithful through very trying and difficult circumstances. I am so thankful for that. But one thing that is mostly not recorded in the martyr's mirror, and maybe there's not much record of it all, are those people who backed down when it got real tough. And we tend not to think about that. I'd like to think that there weren't very many, but I find it hard to believe that. When tribulation, Jesus said here that when this happens, when the Christians are hated of all nations for my name's sake, and this is true in many places in the earth today. This is not something that maybe it's not happening here right now, and maybe there's reasons for that. But it's happening in many places, where churches are being burned. Churches full of people are burned up. It's happening today. This is not something. However, is he speaking here of a time when it'll be more global, and it could very well be. I believe that it could be. But what we have here is tribulation because of choices that we have made. We have chosen to follow Jesus Christ, and now there is tribulation because of that. This is not tribulation because we had a bad year with the crops and there was a crop failure again. This is not tribulation because of that's his own trial, and that requires faith to walk through and all that. It's not. I don't want to make light of that. You know, we lost our jobs or whatever. But making choices to follow Jesus Christ and then suffering for it. That's what it's talking about. It's talking about, for example, in Revelation, we are told that there will come a time when there's debate about how this all be, but I'll just give it out literally. There will come a time when you're required to have a mark. The mark of the beast is called. And without this mark, you shall not buy or sell, and you will not be able to do business. But picture that as if you've got a family. Picture that pressure. Then to choose to starve to death because of your choice to follow Jesus Christ. That's the tribulation that we're talking about here. Jesus said many will be offended by tribulation when tribulation comes. Many will be offended. Maybe that sounds discouraging to us. I hope it doesn't, because the grace of God is able to take us through. We'll look at some things here then. I hope that doesn't discourage us, but I'd like for it to encourage us that we need to be prepared for offenses, some serious offenses. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. for an example of this, Matthew chapter 11, and it came, verse 1, and it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto him, Go and show John again these things which ye do see and hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me, or not be offended because of me. So picture this. We don't know exactly what's going on in John's mind here, but I only use this as an example of someone who's suffering tribulation because of his choices. So John had the privilege of baptizing Jesus. He at that time heard the voice that said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So John had those privileges. He saw those things. So for being faithful, he was felt prompted to go tell Herod about his sin. John's in prison. So now he had this glorious ministry. A lot of people were responding. Big things were happening. People were repenting. Israel, by all appearances, is turning to God. Many people are getting baptized into repentance. And now I'm in prison. Tribulation for the word's sake. And I don't know if this question, I don't know if it was from doubt or if he just was looking for a confirmation. I don't know what it was. But picture yourself in those shoes. What's going on here? Why am I in prison? And, you know, we read the martyr's mirror, but when fathers get thrown into prison, families suffer. Children die. It's reality. It's real. And I think of that. I think of that coming to this country. And I think of our people, and I think of people who have not learned to take up their cross in daily life and haven't learned how to deny themselves and haven't been walking closely with God. And I read this verse where it says that many will be offended. It alarms me. It alarms me, and I just think of what about us? I'm not speaking doom and gloom here this morning, but that's what Jesus said. That's what he said. There are going to be offenses. There's going to be difficult times, and we need to be in him. We need to be in him before that happens. I think of the accounts of the people groups. I think it was maybe Hutterite groups who in Ukraine or Russia, who were forced in the dead of winter to flee. They were forced to move. They were forced to leave the country now. And in the dead of the winter, had to cross the mountains. And as they went, buried their loved ones in the snow. There was no way to get down to the ground to put, you know, just buried them in the snow. The old and the weak and the young. But they were willing. They weren't offended. Blessed is he that is not offended by me. They weren't offended. They saw that he is worthy. Quitting was not an option. Going back was not to be considered. Now, were there some that did? I'm assuming there were. I don't know. Blessed is he who is not offended in me. Overcomers. Number four, this one goes along with that. I was speaking about being offended by tribulation. In other words, hard times brought by the choices that we make, difficult things brought. 20 years ago, some of the brothers I walked with, that I was walking with, some of them left their businesses. They were forced out of their businesses. There were some who, I know of a young man who even just recently lost his inheritance for the gospel's sake. Those things are not. But number four here, offended by persecution. John chapter 16, verse 1. John chapter 16, verse 1. Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended." But Jesus said, "I'm telling you this so that you don't get offended." You know, one of the reasons that we get offended is when we don't understand what's happening. It doesn't make sense. And if we can't make sense of it, it's hard. And Jesus said, "I'm telling you this so you don't get offended. I don't want you to get offended." He said, "They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me." That's why they do it. So now it all makes sense. If we're being persecuted for the gospel's sake, now it makes sense. Oh, it's because they don't know him. They don't know the Father. That's why we heard this morning, that's why the apostles, that's why the disciples, they were being persecuted. And it was because of this. Those that were persecuting them thought they were doing the will of God. They thought they were doing God's service because they didn't know him. They didn't know him. Some give up because of pressure. It's another story from my past. There was a man, a family, and he had a family, but I went to school with him, and he was a very strong man. He was one of those, if you told him he couldn't do it, he would do it. He was that kind of person. He was a very, very competitive man. But he, when this man got converted, he was so radical that, and I he scared me. I mean, I didn't know where this was going, but it didn't matter what the Bible said, we were going to do it. And I thought, whoa, this is, you know, and I didn't know much, and I was probably a little more cautious myself. Didn't have near as much faith as he did. I was hoping to see where this thing's going to land first, you know. But he was a zealous man. As near as I can tell, he was offended by pressure from his mother. As near as I can tell, that's what it was. And as far as I know, he is not walking closely with God. Getting offended doesn't always result in us going out in the world and going to Las Vegas. We might stay in a church. We might keep a form. We might be a church member. But but the fire is gone. The zeal is gone. The desire for truth is gone. And the family is destroyed because of it. And I think of this verse, "Woe to him through whom the offense cometh." Amazing thought to me. Offended by persecution is a real thing. Okay, we'd like to, the last one here, should be an entire message in and of itself, and it won't be today. Maybe we can save that for another time. I'm just going to share a little bit on it. Offenses in the church. Offenses in the church. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Romans 14, maybe we can another day spend more time on this one. We'll just the others are maybe fairly simple compared to this one. I don't know that it should be that way. I don't think it has to be that way. Let's read a few verses here. Romans 14, starting on verse 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account to himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be aggrieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So there's a lot of things we could talk about here, and maybe we'll do that at another time. But here's a few points. People are more important than things. Therefore, we can give them up. That's what Paul is saying here. People are more important than things. Souls are, my brother is more important to me, is more important to me than things. Therefore, I can give up anything for my brother's sake. For all of us, Jesus is greater than things. So Paul's saying here, Jesus is greater than things. And There are some of us, and we see that here, who struggle in this thing of that righteousness is by faith or the law. We kind of struggle with that thing of really getting to the getting through that. And so, I would say I was that way, and maybe I still am. But there were things that brothers would do, and they had just offended me. I mean, not offended in the sense of, well, I just didn't like it. Maybe it was more like that. It wasn't really like majorly offended. But I didn't like it, and it was hard for me to get close to those brothers. If we have that situation, how can we help? By forcing them to overcome it? Or by showing them that love is greater to me. I think that will go a lot further in helping them overcome that. By showing them that love is far greater to me than things. Showing them that I have the power to lay down my life. By the grace of God, I can lay down my life. That's what Paul's saying here. I can lay down my life. Why would I risk causing a brother to stumble over something or the other? Showing them that love is greater. That does not change. That does not change the call that we are all called to submit one to another in the fear of God. And all of us should seek to strive and to come to that, to come to a place where we can, that thing that is a big deal to me, and the brothers are all saying it probably shouldn't be a big deal to you, to seek to submit one to another in the fear of God for the sake of unity and for the sake of maintaining, as we heard this morning, the presence of God in our midst. It's more important than all the details. If I could say that. However, trying to pull someone into, pull him across his conscience, Paul says here that he that doubteth is damned if he eat. In other words, trying to pull someone across his conscience is not profitable. It is not profitable. It is, Paul says, I would never do it. But in all of these things, as we work through them, getting offended is not an option. That's a choice. I will not be offended. We don't see it eye to eye today. But there's no, that is no cause to be offended. That's no reason to pull back from Christ or to make all these choices that people make because they got offended. That there's no need for any of that. I think that should be settled in our hearts, that we refuse to be offended by the grace of God, not in our own strength, not because we think we're really, you know, going to do this thing. But by the grace of God, we don't need to be offended. We can communicate. We can talk about it. We can forgive one another. What happened to just simply forgiving one another? What happened to long suffering and patience and forbearing? Aren't those all part of the new nature? We can, by the grace of God, endeavor to submit one to another in the fear of God. In things that are not right and wrong in and of themselves. That's what we understand. Now, we're not talking about submitting in things that are clearly sin, and it's not what we're talking about. But we can make an effort, all of us together. We can make an effort that Jesus Christ is going to be the head of the church. He's going to be the head of my life, and He is all in all. And that we can have a confidence that if we keep a pure heart, the Holy Ghost can lead us. And so our focus is maintaining purity of heart, and the Holy Ghost will build, will draw us together and unite us and build the church. That's exciting to me. That's exciting to me. In all of these things, we remember that Paul says, he says here that that all things indeed are pure. But in Corinthians, he says, all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. Not all things are profitable. Not all things will be good for us. Though we could, maybe they would be pure, or maybe if we're in Christ, they wouldn't necessarily be harmful to us, or not in that sense, but they're not profitable for the church, and for and so we work through those things. So I know there's a lot more that could be said along those lines, and I'm not wasn't looking to go further into that. But all of us. Can choose several things. One, we can choose to not be offended. We can choose to lay down our lives one for another. And we can seek God. So lastly here, overcoming offense. Overcoming offense. We go back to Matthew 11. Again, where we started. Well, we didn't start there, I guess, but Matthew 11. Back to the stony ground. That's 13, sorry. Back to the stony ground. I think the root of it all, or the lack of the root of this thing, and I don't think that we should say, well, this is kind of inevitable. Those that have a stony ground, they're just going to get offended, and that's it. I think we should consider that the grace of God is available to cast out the stones and to work up the hard ground and to make it better and to make it ground where the roots can go deep and there can be a deep-rooted walk with God. Offenses can do something else. Offenses can help us to grow to the heart that is pure and the heart that is seeking after God and that is committed. The hard things can produce growth. It doesn't have to be bad. Now here's a few thoughts this morning. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. We sing these songs, and we sang it this morning, this song about His providence. About God's providence over us, and so if faith in God says that this difficult thing, whether it's hard words, opposition, persecution, whether it's a difficult brother, or all of those things providentially placed in my life by God, allowed in my life by God, and we don't have to be offended by them. If God allowed it in my life, He will also make a way for me to overcome it and to grow through it and to learn things through it and to be stronger by it. I missed some of those things along the way, by the way. I look back and I think, wow, if I'd have just had a little more faith in God, that wouldn't have been such a struggle. But have faith in God. God is. He's promised to never leave us nor forsake us. We can make a choice to forgive, whether it's an unbeliever, whether it's someone on the street, whether it's a family member, whether it's religious people, whether it's... we can make a choice to forgive those that come against us, those that say things maybe because they know not God, maybe because they're offended at the gospel, maybe because we don't know why they do what they do, but we can forgive them. There's grace available to just simply forgive them and to be at peace. There's no need to be offended. You know, sometimes we can do that. We can, like, well, why do they do that to me? And then we chew on that thing for days. Now, maybe that's not a long-term losing your way type of offense, but it's not very profitable. It doesn't get us anywhere. Thirdly, if you're tempted to be offended, look beyond this life. We sang a song this morning, we're marching to Zion. We have a goal. We have someone we want to get. We can't afford to get offended. The stakes are too high. And I think about this morning. Brother Steve, when he was here a few weeks ago, he made a comment about the disappointments that might happen. And now I know that he doesn't believe that that's inevitable and that some people is going to just inevitably lose their way. That's not what he intended to say. But it is reality that each one of us is going to have to choose. And it, from the those that are from the age of accountability on up, each one of us is going to have to choose to walk with God and to not be pulled off the way. No one else can do that for me. each of us will have to choose. And if we fail to choose, we will be pulled out of the way. That's reality. And that goal that we have of living eternal, being eternally with God, that thing will not be realized except we endure faithfully. Look beyond this life. Let Jesus Christ be the anchor of the soul. This hope that we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. How can we fail? If we have stumbled, get up. Get up. Don't stay down. I think of this man who was slightly handicapped, but he was in a foot race, and he was not the most capable runner, but he had a very strong will, and he had a very persevering attitude, and therefore everyone was kind of just rooting for him, is because they saw that in him. And in this foot race, I don't remember how exactly all the details, but in this foot race, he's giving all he had, and he failed. And everyone, all the people, like, oh, no, they didn't want to see that. But he got up, and he ran. And of course, he didn't win the race, but when he crossed the finish line, they cheered more for him than for the one that had won the race. And I think of Hebrews chapter 12, seeing then that we are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. God is for us. Jesus Christ is watching us. I can't comprehend that. That the Son of God watches our race with intent longing that we would make it. Psalm 119:165 says, "Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." And we love truth beyond anything else. Nothing can offend us. Nothing can pull us off the way. Beware of lukewarmness. It is generally a sign of offense. Something is offending me. Maybe it can be other things, but that's one of the evidences of offense. Someone drawing back. Just drawing back. Being pulled aside. Beware of a cynical attitude. Oh, well, that's just how it is. People are the way they are. That's not faith in God. Faith in God says that was allowed to come my way for a purpose. God, what is it? What do you want to do in my life? A cynical attitude says, yeah, people are just people and they're not very nice and whatever. Beware of that. Beware of that coldness. Jesus said that iniquity abound and the love of many will wax cold. Beware, I think when I look at my life, beware of just not being fervent in spirit. Beware of that. What is offending me? Sometimes we look at offense a little differently than that. We look at it as this personal thing, but maybe it's just the difficulties are wearing me down, and I just kind of half offended. Not having faith that these things are good for me. These things will help me. We went to Haiti a few times to visit Brother Barry and his family, going up into the mountains in Haiti. I treasure some of those memories. It was some of the most grueling. The one day particularly, we went on motorbikes, and it was one of the most difficult, most physically grueling days of my life. I don't know if I ever told you that. But we went places I didn't think dirt bikes could go. Climbing those mountains reminds me of, you know, you've got these very difficult climbs, and then it levels out, and you kind of just wind around. And so a lot of times you can't really tell that you're going up, and until you look back. And that's the way it is. That's the point I wanted to make. Many times we can't really see that there's progress being made. It's just difficult. Sometimes it's more difficult than others. Sometimes it's kind of levels out, but when we look back and we see that, wow, we're a lot higher than we were. It's a little bit how it can be in our walk. So I'm going to close with that. We'll turn the time over to Brother Barry.